Bibles with me to the book of Ephesians and the 6th chapter. We read in that chapter again in verse 10, Ephesians 6 verse 10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. The strength of Christ is our title, the strength of Christ. Today we hear quite a bit the term a weak Christian. This person is a weak Christian, or I'm a Christian but I'm a weak Christian. How would you define yourself as a Christian? Are you a weak Christian? There's no such thing as a weak Christian. Let me clear that quickly. The question should be, am I a Christian? We have these phrases that we cherish, and there's no scriptural validation for them. And therefore, I'm here to clear up the air about some of these things that we often hear. It's often a cop-out when somebody say, "I'm a weak Christian," to mean that they don't know what is expected of them as a Christian. The Bible often uses the word strength or strong to describe the Christian, because they are given the strength, and you just sang the hymn, they have been given the strength of the Lord Jesus to overcome. No Christian is strong in themselves, of course, and that is why the verse has to be correctly understood. That says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord." That's where the strength is. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. The word strong, power, and might has to do with the gospel. Romans 1:16. "Not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the strength, the dunamis of God unto salvation to everyone who believes." Paul went on to say, "For therein," the gospel, "is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. Thus it is written, the justified one shall live by faith." So understand the slogans that you hear and you run with that are unscriptural. And that's why there's such a thing as reformation, to undo error and to teach truth. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 1:18, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the strength, the power, the dunamis of God." In considering the imagery of a soldier used in Ephesians 6 by the Paul, he used it several times, there's a common assumption, and this is another error that is taught, there's a common assumption made by many teachers of the Bible saying that this passage is a list of equipment necessary for a Christian to live victoriously. You have heard that. You have heard that exposition. That each piece that we read in Ephesians 6 from 10 to the end is a list of inventory that a Christian needs after they become saved. Now this idea is, after a person is saved, they should make sure that they fit themselves with these pieces of equipment to withstand the evil one. Now this method of teaching is not only wrong, but it is dangerous, very dangerous, to make people believe they are something that they are not. And that's why you need a careful exposition of Scripture. If God saves a person, He doesn't give them pieces of salvation. He gives them the whole salvation. The appeal to us in these verses is that we make sure that we have these graces in our lives, otherwise we are not soldiers of Christ. And this is what I attempt to show you this morning. And you can check this out. Please don't take up a dispensationalist preacher and begin reading him, because he's going to contradict the truth. You got a good guy like Ryle. You got a good guy like Spurgeon. You got a good guy like Luther, Zwingli, James Montgomery Boyce. Get good guys that give you commentaries, not these wishy-washy dispensationalists. I can call them one by one. And I find that some of you give more respect to these people than you give to me. And so I am here to teach you error. I will not. I cannot. My conscience will not allow me to teach you error. When God says he don't give us piece by piece, that's what charismatics teach. Make sure you have these graces that are listed here. Otherwise, you are not a soldier. You're a spectator. And spectators get shoot from both sides. Let me quickly open the passage. Here we see a call to enlistment. Verse 10 and 11. A call to enlistment. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. This is an evangelistic call that the apostle is making to the church. Within the church, there are those who are not yet believers. And he makes this blanket call. Finally, and he addresses them as brethren. And this is how the church is addressed. Brethren, you are brethren. You are my brethren. And the call is to you. Make sure that you are endowed with the strength of Christ. To be strong is the equivalent to being saved. 1 John 2:14. I've written to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you. And the term young men in 1 John has to do with the Christian, not age of a person. The Bible calls Christian. Even the song, "You young men, rise up." Go back to the song. It is speaking about Christians, young men, because God never sees gender, of course. You and I see that, but God doesn't see that. It's a call to make sure we are given gospel strength. Doesn't take much to shake the faith of many who profess to be Christians today. Doesn't take a whole lot. And God calls us to be endowed with the strength. Be saved, be converted. Paul often uses this imagery as a soldier to describe a Christian, and especially a Christian worker. One of the places that you can recall is 2 Timothy 2, 1 through 3. If you care to turn to that text quickly in the New Testament, 2 Timothy 2, 1 through 3, says to this young man who was in the ministry, "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." And a lot of us are not willing to endure hardship. When hardship comes, we complain about hardship. Talking about hardship, we experience a lot of hardship the last couple of months. Sometimes we don't know what is hardship. Try going without the internet for 4 days. Try going for a refrigerator that doesn't have any food for a week. Try living a place where there is no running water or electricity, no toilet, but a hole in the ground. Try living like that for a week without complaining. Endure hardship without saying a word. Or try coming down with the flu and haven't seen any relief in sight because there is no antibiotics available. Try that if you know what is hardship. You don't ever know. Never get a call from anyone. Hardship. Endure hardship as a good soldier. You may remember Gideon the judge started out with many soldiers for battle. And by the time the test of faithfulness was over, he only had 300. God tell him, send them home, they're too many. Then he tests some more. And they were engulfed in the world. They saw water and they were only concerned about down on their all fours, lapping up the water. Send them home. When the tests come, it proves who we are. Test with the things of this world. There's a call to enlistment. Be strong in the power of the Lord Jesus and in His might. Be strong. The second thing we see in our text quickly is the enemy in battle. Verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Our battle is not physical. Our battle is spiritual. There are spiritual forces that you cannot see in this world. Oh yes, there might be people in your life, but look at their spiritual lives. Look at their allegiance. Look at their gods, and you will see where the battle is. And so the apostle tells us there's an enemy in battle. Paul is saying that unlike the natural army, unlike an earthly soldier or enemy, our real enemy is not people. Our enemy is often that which we cannot see with our eyes. He called them principalities and powers. Our enemy is the same one that our Lord Jesus confronted at Calvary. We do not wrestle with flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. Paul said in Colossians 2:15 that Christ, having spoiled principalities and powers, He made a show of them openly, triumphant over them in it. He's talking about the cross, as the Lord stood naked and bare on the cross. One of our problems today is that we are looking every place and to everyone but the cross. We really look at the cross. I'm not speaking about that horizontal and vertical piece of furniture that we put around our necks. It's the cross where our enemy was defeated. It is the cross where we must look to. It is the cross where we get our strength. Not an emblem, but we are to crucify our passions on our hang-ups. That's the cross. We are to say no to our sin, to our lusts, to our flesh. No, you would not overcome me today. That's the cross. By God's grace, by His strength, no, I'm not doing it. Whatever the price may be, that's the cross. We're not willing for that. Not yet. We need that strength, brethren. It is at our disposal. We should pray, we should ask, and it would be given. So this is the gist of Paul's call to us today. It is a call to enlistment, or to be enlisted. Two, it is a call that shows the enemy that we face day by day, every day. He's relentless. Don't think that you wouldn't have the enemy tomorrow. As soon as you get up. And sometimes I get up in the morning and I'm struggling if to quit the ministry or not. I'm struggling if to teach today or not. Struggling, does it worth it? Every day I get up. Maybe this is your last day. Struggling. And you have your struggles too. You may not tell me, you may not want to tell me, but you have them. Some of us are taking various forms of medication. And sometimes we wonder, should I take an overdose today and end everything? I know a man one time that called me and said to me, "Brian, thank you for being my friend." The next time I heard of this man, he took an overdose of insulin and committed suicide. But the call, the last call he made was, "Brian, thank you for being my friend." And I tried to reach this man because I realized it was a distress call. Never got him. But later I got a call from someone else. I was sitting right there. "Brian, I don't even know the person. I saw your name. I went into the internet. I saw the church. And I saw your name. And I'm calling to tell you that so-and-so has committed suicide. Couldn't handle it anymore." Life is a battle, brethren. Be strong. Be enlisted. You face the enemy. Sometimes the biggest enemy is ourselves. Thirdly, the essentials in warfare. The essentials in warfare. 13 through 18. Paul repeats himself in verse 13. "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor." Notice he's insisting the whole armor, not pieces. God doesn't give us pieces of salvation. Forget that theology. "That you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." The evil day can mean two things quickly. One, the evil day can be the time when we face the enemy. The evil day can be today. The evil day can refer to the ultimate evil day, the day of judgment itself, when the unsaved faces the judge. If you don't have the whole armor, you cannot face the wrath of God. You cannot face the wrath of God by being partially saved, by having a piece of the armor. "Oh, I got faith, but I don't pray. Oh, I got love, but I don't have on the shoes of salvation." In other words, I'm not telling anybody. I'm not walking in the life. The shoes represent our walk. I'm not living the life. My feet are not covered. My chest is not covered with the breastplate. I'm exposed to the darts of the enemy. You need all of these things, brethren. So if you never hear Ephesians 6 exegeted, you're hearing it now. And you're hearing it correctly. And I challenge you with the text. The evil day. In both instances, we need the whole armor of God to withstand the evil day. The armor of God is salvation. He is the armor. But the apostle lists the essentials that comes with salvation. One is the truth. Verse 14. "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness." Now you know the loins of a person. Of a person is the hidden part. A girdle. You don't see me here and look and see I'm wearing a girdle. It's hidden. It's covered. The girdle. The loins. It's the inside part that is protected. It is a picture of the heart that is girded with the gospel. Salvation is a heart issue. It's not a head issue. If we have a faulty salvation plan, we will not be able to withstand the enemy. If we have a faith that is based on sight and feelings and emotion, we cannot survive. If we have truth, we will have the breastplate of righteousness. And by the way, this is Christ also. Truth. Righteousness. Everything points. Make sure you have Christ as your Savior. Verse 15 and 16. "And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield." And by the way, He is our shield. He is our defense. Every piece of equipment points to one person, not pieces. How are we exegeting the Bible? The gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And notice darts. Darts have one intention, Sister Peters, to penetrate, to kill, to destroy. The enemy has darts, and you may not see them. They're flying everywhere. One of the main essentials we seem to be ignorant of is the gospel of peace. Many hear the gospel, but they do not seem to know what the gospel teaches. And hence, when the darts of the world are thrown at us, we are struck down by the darts. Because we don't know the gospel. We don't know the truth. And we are not listening to the truth. Knowing the gospel is a fundamental essential of our faith. Knowing what we believe and what we stand on. And if we are standing on the gospel, we cannot be shaken in this life. But if we are standing on sand, as the Lord Jesus said, we will be shaken. As a matter of fact, Paul said to the Corinthians, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preach unto you, which also you receive, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preach unto you, unless you believe in vain." Paul said he preached the gospel to the Corinthians, which they received. That gospel enables us to stand. We talk about this later in our morning message. I told the guys this morning I would be speaking. I don't remember the word I used, but I said it would not be long in my sessions because, you know, we're three. And then we did it in Africa quite a bit. And sometimes I got beside myself. I had two pages for Sunday school. Just two pages. And sometimes it was like I had six, because I find that I had to be doing a lot of explanation, as I said to the people. Sometimes I just would leave the front and go in between pointing out in the Bible scripture references. Very few people have a Bible. And I would find myself in between them, turning pages and hands-on. Working with people, but that's the best way to teach people, hands on. But Paul says he preached the gospel when you stand, then he says, unless you believe in vain. And we never know who among us who say they believe and yet they believe in vain. They don't really believe. They pretend, but they don't believe the gospel, and therefore they cannot stand in the day of God's wrath. There's always a possibility that many people don't really know what they believe or why they believe. And the reason we believe is because we are commanded to believe, but we believe because we want to escape the wrath of God. We don't want to come into condemnation. And we flee that condemnation, and we show that we flee by our obedience to God. To the young lady, you understand what I'm saying? If we know that we're going to be condemned, the gospel teaches that, and we hear the gospel, we flee to Christ and we flee sin, and it comes our way. We don't want to sin, we don't want to offend God. That's the character of a Christian. So the chapter continues to list these essentials that are necessary for warfare. But this last set have to do with fellowship, Christian fellowship. Let me read verse 17 and 18, the last text I will offer. and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance, with all supplication for all saints. Now, if you're praying for all saints, you got to be with the saints. By the way, the saints are not, like I said, the dead people. The saints are those who are separated unto God. You pray with them. And then Paul says, I pray for me too when you meet. Pray for me. Fellowship when you come together. Pray for all of the saints. All of the above, brethren, are essential gear for the Christian life. We do not have parts of the gospel when we become Christians. We have the whole armor. And each one of us should have or should see these parts. As you go through them, these parts in Ephesians 6, some of you looking at me like I'm crazy. I ain't crazy. The shield of faith, the breastplate of righteousness, all of these things, the shoes of the gospel. What is your walk like? What shoes do you have? When the prodigal came home, what did the father put on his feet? He put shoes on his feet before he was in a far land. Came home and put a robe on him, righteousness. Put a ring on his hand, Holy Spirit, ownership. Put shoes on his feet, direction. The elder son did not have any of those things. He had religion, but he hated his brother. He says, when this your son wastes all of his living, you give him a fatted calf. He never had a calf. He never had the lamb. He had religion. He was working. But he had no salvation. Don't be like the older son. Hang around church a long time. Wasn't as bad as him. After all, he went out and lived with the harlots. But he knew grace. He knew forgiveness. And some of us are like the elder son. Be careful. This is essential. What I just shared with you. Not parts and pieces. Ephesians 6 is not a list of equipment Christians need after they become saved. I can get it any time. This passage is a call to enlistment. That we have these graces that accompany salvation. Having them is necessary if we're going to stand in this age, this terrible, sinful world that we live in. Sometimes I don't even listen to the news. Don't want to hear it. I finally find out that this new system wants to twist your mind to follow them. I ain't listening to them. Controlled people. 1 minute they tell you get one vaccine, the next they tell you two, next they tell you four. People get six and they still get COVID. Mm-hmm. I find that the one that can't take off his mask is the chief one that get it. I ain't telling you to take off your mask. Don't run with that now, because some of you would run with that. Pastors will take off. I'm not saying that. But the chief ones that are up in arms go, don't touch me, don't touch me. And you need to hear it from this pulpit. Are the chief ones. God has been protecting me for 2 years in the lion's den. The worst place a man can go. Sub-Saharan Africa. Lord, I'm at your disposal. I don't know what is going on here, but Lord, just keep me and my wife for this next 2 months. Keep us, oh Lord. Keep us. I mean it. Unto him that is able to keep you from falling, to present you faultless to the throne with exceeding joy, unto the only wise God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. One of my favorite benedictions at Menbury, reminding the people it is He that keeps us falling. So, brethren, this equipment is necessary if you're going to stand. And already we are witnessing a mass fallout in the Lord's army, a mass fallout. Day by day, you and I need strength to stand. And the song encouraged us to stand up for Jesus. Not sit down, stand up. And it literally means stand up for Him. When pressure comes, stand up for Him. You can't go wrong. Because if you don't stand up for Him now, He will stand up for you in hell. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, in the power of His might, put on the whole armor of God, you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. While others are falling, the Lord's people will stand. May God bless you.